Go ahead, grab your Bibles. And, you know, we as a church are serious about opening the Word of God together. And so open there to Exodus 35 and 36 and 40. And let me just ask you this. Have you enjoyed the book of Exodus? All right. Has God taught you something through the book of Exodus? Okay, good. That's what we like to hear. So let's just review it just a bit before we look at these final chapters. You know, Exodus has been teaching us all about what it means to become the people of God. It's the story of the Israelites as they're coming out of Egypt, where God had grown this people from Abraham into a great multitude. They had been enslaved for 400 years, and so God is now bringing them out of that and making them his particular people. And we see that God meets them there in their bondage. He brings them out of Egypt of all of these great miracles that show how wonderful and mighty he is, to prove to them, you ought to follow me, like I'm a good God. And then he takes them to the desert to make a covenant with himself to be his special people. And this is not unlike our own testimonies if you've come to Jesus. Right? God finds you in your bondage to sin, wherever you are in life. He reveals himself to you in Christ, and then he begins to take you on a journey out of that place to be his special people for the things that he has for you. And we know that this story in Exodus is not without difficulty or doubt. We've seen that all along the way. Right? Will this God actually save us from Egypt? Are you just taking us out into the desert to kill us there? What are we going to eat and drink along the way? How are you going to do this, God? Are you going to fight for us? Or are you going to fight against us? And what are we going to do when it feels like our connection with you is endangered? Are you going to leave us? And God has shown himself to be good and faithful through all of it. And we got great gospel pictures along the way too, right? If you remember back in Exodus chapter 12, in the Passover meal, where he took the blood of the lamb and they put it on the doorposts of their house as the angel of death went through and killed the firstborn of Egypt. It teaches us what God has done for us, right? In Christ, that we're covered in his blood, we are forgiven of our sins, and when that day of judgment arises, we pass right through because we're Christ's. Similarly, we saw there in Exodus 24, where the covenant is confirmed and the leaders of Israel get to eat and drink with God. They get to be in his presence as his special people. And so becoming the people of God starts with Jesus. That's what Exodus tells us. Confessing him as Lord, letting his blood be applied to the doorposts of our heart to cleanse us from our sins so that we can be in his presence. Now, what we see is really the whole book of Exodus is leading up to these final chapters. Okay, he's wanting to get the people to the place where God himself can dwell with him. In fact, Exodus 40, this is the climax of the book, we'll see this is where God's glory, after they build the tabernacle, it comes down and it fills the building. And the people get to dwell in the presence of God. But while this is what this whole journey has been about. And so God has work for his people to do also, and we'll see. They're to spread then, once God dwells with them, they're to be a people that spreads his glory to all nations and invite everyone to become a part of what he is doing. And so God has work for us to do as well. So as I've been thinking and praying about our church and just where we're going and talking with the staff, it's been a good thing. But I believe God is calling us to be a church that is mobilizing disciples for ministry. And this is for all of us. Not that we haven't done this, not that we haven't wanted to, but I believe if you're here this morning, God has brought you here for a reason and has gifted you to be a part of our church in what we're doing. And we got to get you into that place so that you can do that with us. God is calling you to join us on what he's doing here in this church, in this city, and around the world. He wants us to mobilize God's people to join God's mission. You know, we have these great banners on the wall, which are really good. We have Real Life Transformation over here. This is all about coming to Jesus, that you experience a real change of who you are into his image. You get a new heart that begins to beat for his things. And as we are transformed, our life should lead us to be part of God's mission, which is real life multiplication, that through us, other people would come to know about Christ and have their lives changed as well. And it's cool to see all the new people that have been added to our church this year. Even this room this morning speaks to all of you that have been coming and who God is drawing. And now I think God is saying to us, it's time to get to work. Thanks for being here, right? Let's worship God, but let's get to work. Let's spread this gospel that he has given us. Let's join him as God's people on his mission. As we are transformed, then we need to begin to step into this ministry of real life multiplication as it happens. And we'll see some of this in our text. So here's what we're looking at this morning. Kind of the main point, I think, here in 35 and 36 and 40. When God's people join in God's mission, and they do that by serving with their giftings and in their various callings that he has given them, God's glory is made known in the world. Okay, so when God's people join in God's mission, God's glory gets made known in all the world. And so we want to mobilize you as God's people to join his mission. Okay? So we'll look at Exodus 35 and 36 and 40 in three parts today. One, we'll look at a distinct people and goal. And then secondly, a distinct giftings and callings. And finally, a distinct result. So let's look at a distinct people and goal this morning. If you remember back in Exodus 19, 5 through 6, we get the whole purpose kind of what God is doing in this story. It says, God is making a covenant with Israel, and if they will keep his commandments, they will be God's treasured possession and his special people to serve him as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Okay, we might glance over that when we're looking at this, thinking, oh, well, that's nice language. I don't really know what that means, but that's nice, right, God? But I think the first thing that he is calling us to as his distinct people is to this task of making his gospel known, evangelizing the world. You'll see this original calling of the people of Israel was to be this special people where his glory dwells, and then by in doing so, this people would show the world what it means to relate to this great God. It wasn't just to be this like little holy huddle for Israel where they get to enjoy God's presence, but it's meant to be spread around the world as the nations are drawn to it. This is why they're called a kingdom of priests. Each member, each citizen of Israel is to be a minister that served the Lord by ministering to the world at large, that through them all of the world would be blessed. This is what God originally promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3, that through his offspring all the world would be blessed. And in Exodus, it's revealed that each son and daughter of Abraham will be a ministering priest to the whole world. You might say, well, that's cool. What does that have to do with me? Right? Well, we get the same commission in the New Testament. Look at 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. This is speaking to us as Christ followers. Peter says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but you have now received mercy. What Peter is saying is that if you have become a follower of Jesus, you've become a member of God's holy and special people. You are God's distinct people as a Christ follower. And you now have a distinct goal. Christ in you makes you distinctly God's, and you have a job to carry out. Notice what it says there. It says you are to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, I thought about it would be really funny if we'd gotten everybody a little priest collar this morning to walk out of here, put it in their shirt, and maybe you're just wearing the collar. Because we're all priests, right? I want us to get this idea. He's called us now as priests to proclaim the excellencies of God who called us out of darkness into his light. He wants us to proclaim it to the world. That means if you know what it's like to experience real life transformation, where God has revealed himself to you in Christ. He has saved you from his sins. He has put you on a new pathway of being loved and finding freedom in him. Then he's saying, you're to go tell everybody about that. That's your goal. Your distinct goal is my distinct people. In fact, we see this repeated again, right, in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Jesus speaking. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Christ gives us this commission because we are priests of the Most High God. Go and tell the world what you have experienced. And we have work to do as priests in this city and around the world. Do you believe that? How are you going to step into your role as a priest and let the world know about Jesus? This is your calling. This is your distinct goal as God's distinct people. How are we as God's people going to join in God's mission as his priests? You know, in Salt Lake City, here where we live, if you live in this city as a believer in Jesus, God has called you here on purpose. It's no accident that you're in this city. God is calling you to be a light of the gospel here in this city, that you would proclaim to this city right now who Jesus is and all the good things that he has done. This is our job. This is no accident. You know, Acts says that there's no accident where you are called to live, and God has placed us here as his distinct people for this distinct goal. You know, I've been talking with Tono over the last couple weeks too, and he's been working on some local outreach events that we're hoping to roll out here over the year. Some of you do this really well already, and I love it because we don't even know that some of us are out there working at God's purposes. Tono's been finding that out as he's worked with some of you and found out what you're doing around the city on your own time and your own dime, and just because you love Jesus and you know that this is what God has called us to do. But I want us as a church to begin to think about, how do we reach this city? How do we do this? And Tono's going to give us some things. What is God calling you to proclaim about his goodness in this city? And this is an all play, right? Like, if you're a believer in Jesus, you get to be a part of this. And God has called you to your friends and to your neighbors and to your coworkers, all those people in your life that he's given you. He says, those are the people that I want you to tell about the excellencies of who I am. Who's God calling you to? We also have a responsibility to take Christ's message around the world. You know, it's been great over the years. We've sent out some missionaries. We've sent one to Germany, right? Josh Stakowitz, he's in his second year there. I just talked to him last week, actually. I'm going to call him again this week. We sent out Christina Kirtner to Central Asia, and she gave a great update that God's really moving through her ministry. You know, this week, Kirk Galster, where are you, Kirk? Kirk is right here in the back. Kirk Galster is here. He was him and his wife Crystal and their family were workers in East Africa trying to spread God's gospel. They've now come back. They're living in Nebraska, and they're feeling God's call again to, how do we reach the nations that have gathered in Nebraska? So if you know Kirk, make sure you shake hands with him, say hi, give him a hug, find out what he's doing and how you can support it. But it's been a great thing for us to send out missionaries. In fact, we got this really cool map over here for Vision Sunday that we just put up. Everybody go, ooh, yeah, that's nice. Tono put that together for us, and Tono did the little wood burning for Risen Life. I think it's pretty cool. But we have little pins on that map where we have sent people around the world and where we're doing ministry and we're supporting different things. And I'd like to see that whole map filled up, right? Like, let's be a people, let's be priests that are on mission for God, reaching the people. Where is God calling you to go? How can you participate? In fact, you know, Tono is going in October. Him and Sean both are going back to Guatemala, and they'll be doing some ministry there in October. But also, they're going to set in motion a trip for next summer for us to go as a church. maybe God's calling you to go on that trip. Like, we've had some really great trips to Guatemala, and I'd love for some of you to experience what God is doing around the world and get a heart for what God is doing around the world. Let's be a people that are mobilizing for God's mission here and around the world. Even today, my family and I, we're headed out to Finland this afternoon about 4 o'clock. I'm going back to teach in a seminary there where they are training pastors to plant churches all across Finland. They've sent out about 20 different church plants, and so I'll get the opportunity to help train these guys and encourage them and preach in a couple of churches while we're there. So let's be a people that are not about just here, but about the nations. This is what it means to be a priest to the Most High God. This is our job. Now, another part of being God's distinct people with a distinct goal is a really good one, and that's just to enjoy God. This is part of what we get to do as his people. You know, 2 Peter 1:3-4 says it this way. He says, his divine power, speaking of Christ, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us a precious and very great promises, so that through them we may become partakers of the divine nature. You know what this is saying? It's saying, in Christ, you have everything you need for life. So enjoy it. Enjoy God as you go through this life. There's nothing left to do. God's taking care of it all. Enjoy God on the journey. This is what he's calling us to as his people. Doesn't matter what life throws at you, you have the God of the universe who's walking with you and has everything you need to make it through this life with him and be his priest and accomplish his mission. And if you don't know him this morning, this is God's promise to you, that in Christ, you'll have everything you need. He forgives you of your sins. He makes a pathway forward for your life. Even in the toughest moments, Jesus is with you and will show you how to walk till you are with him in eternity. This verse also blows my mind. Okay, I don't know if you caught this last part. It says that when we become the distinct people of God, right at the end it says, we will become partakers of the divine nature. Sounds like we're like being assimilated into the Borg, right? I don't know where that comes from, Star Trek or Star Wars, I can't remember, but this is kind of a weird statement that like we're become partakers of the divine nature. He's saying when you become a follower of Jesus, you get to dwell in, commune in the presence of God. And as his spirit indwells us, we're invited into the conversation that's been going on for eternity and the relationship that has been going on in the Trinity forever. You get to speak with God and enjoy him. That's what he's saying. And it's in this relationship there's only love and joy and enjoyment, right? Psalm 34:8, I think we read this last week, but it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We get to enjoy him as his people in all sorts of ways. As part of our goal as God's distinct people to just enjoy him, right? How are you doing with that? You know, I love the old Westminster Catechism question number 1. What's the chief end of man? Anybody know this one? First question in this whole catechism. They could have said lots of things about theology, and they do, and baptism, and whatever. First thing is, what is the chief end of man? And it says, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's your distinct purpose and goal as his people. You enjoy God, and then you become one of his priests, and you glorify him with your life as you reach the nations. Psalm 16, some of these verses, here's what it says about that experience of enjoying God. It says, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. My heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's what it looks like to enjoy God. Are you there this morning? You enjoying God? Psalm 144:15, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Right? We get to enjoy Him. So mobilizing for God's mission, it starts with enjoying Him. What are you going to do this year to enjoy God? Right? Spend time with Him. I love going and just spending some time with God, right? Particularly, I love to get away in these mountains that God has given us to see His beautiful creation and just to sit there and enjoy Him, to pray with Him, to praise Him for His creation. You also can enjoy God by spending time with His people. You know that if you're a believer in this room, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and when believers commune together, God's right there with us. You get to enjoy God through that other person as they extend the love of Christ to you. And then we can enjoy Him by spending time engaging in His mission. You want to know the very heart of God? You want to enjoy the heart of God? Then join Him in what He's doing in the world. And you'll learn all sorts of things you never knew about the heart of God and how deeply He loves us. So we are to be a distinct people with distinct goals. But also, God, as God's people, we see He's given us distinct giftings and callings. And this is to carry out His mission in the world. So in Exodus 25 through 31, after God makes the covenant with Moses, He gives them all these instructions on how to make the tabernacle, where it's going to be God's dwelling place in the midst of the people. The things that go in it, some of the ministry expectations, all these things God gives to them. And then we see in Exodus 35 and 36 that the construction then begins imminently. And so here's what we see there, that people are called to give of their resources to partner in God's mission. Okay, look at this. Exodus 35, 4 through 5. It says, Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution. And so we see that they're calling for gold and silver and bronze and fine yarn and materials and wood, all the things they would need to make this tabernacle. Okay. Now look at this. Look what it says in 35:21. This is the result. So God said, hey, do this, Moses. Moses does it. And then here's what happens. It says, and they came. Right? Everyone whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit moved in him and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its services and for the holy garments. And so they came, both men and women. Right? God moved people to give what is necessary to accomplish His mission. Again, this is an everybody play, both men and women. Everybody gets to give what God stirs you in your heart to do to join Him in His mission. In Exodus 35:6, get this, it tells us that the people brought so much stuff that the guys that were doing the work said, Moses, we got to like cut this off. Like, we got way more than plenty, right? This is the heart of the people. Let's do this, right? And when our heart enjoys God and we're connected to His mission, it is a joy to give. I hope you've experienced that before. When God moves you and you are compelled by the mission of God and you give of your time and your resources to the mission of God, what a joy, right? That is an investment that always gives a return. Not only does it give to God's mission in advancing His kingdom, but God gives you joy as the giver as you do those things. You know, last year, Amy and I were visiting some church planter friends in Switzerland that we've known since seminary. And they've been slugging it out, planting this church. They're Swiss in Switzerland. And as we were staying in their house, they were talking to us just about some financial difficulties. They weren't asking for anything. And as we got home, you know, we thought, you know what? God stirred in our hearts, said we ought to give to them. And so we did, right? What a joy, right? That we could give a gift and support them and take care of some of those things that have been going on in their life. Man, what a great thing. And we see similarly called in the New Testament as God's people to participate in God's mission by giving what is necessary for it to be accomplished. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:6-9. Here's what it tells us. It says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Okay, this is kind of the rule of the harvest for God's people. You don't want to give a lot, you're not going to see a lot. You want to give all that you are, you're going to see a whole lot, right? And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I think what God is telling us is if you want to see your resources be multiplied with return in God's mission, then you give and you give generously, right? This is a giving to the Lord. As you give and you do it out of your heart, you don't do it under compulsion, don't do it because I said so, but do it because you love Jesus and you want to see his mission go forward and you give it as an offering to the Lord, right? And those things are stewarded by God's people. Do you know God has given enough resources in his people to accomplish his mission? I kind of get tired of churches, you know, when they're begging for money, and or other churches that are woe is us, we don't have the funds. And I always tell the pastors, look, God has given you exactly what you need in your people, but they got to get a heart for what's going on. And when they get a heart, there is more than enough for God's mission to be accomplished in his people. So what's God calling you to? How's he calling you to give? You know, this year, I was looking at our giving this last week with Dave Pelton, our accountant. And this week, we've given $3,000 more than what we've budgeted for our giving. That's pretty awesome. Like, you guys are really generous and faithful givers at this church. And we celebrate this year after year that you've been so faithful to give to God's work. And so I just want to say thank you. And we get to do cool things, right? Did anybody see the new van out there this morning? Woohoo! You know, I kind of feel like the dad of a 16-year-old that just bought their son a new car. I've been in Josh's office like every other day, like, Josh, we've got to treat this van nice. Josh keeps telling me, yes, Dad. And youth kids, please, for the glory of God, keep this van nice. We need it to last for another 20 years. But you know, this is because God's people give, right? We, in fact, we had a member, Devereaux Dinwoody, I don't know if you remember him, but he gave us a donation when he passed away and said, use this for the ministry. He was a school teacher. We thought, you know, this is great seed money towards this van that serves kids. And then we began to add to that year after year if you've been faithful to give. And after 10 years of discussion, and Alex calculated it, at least $400,000 worth of salary and hours discussing the van, we have a new van. So it's safe, you know, all this thing. And we got to send our other van to Guatemala, right? How cool. And we get to do not so cool things like building maintenance, like we fixed our parking lot this year some to edge it along a couple more years. But these are important things as we witness to our city to take care of the things God has given us. And guess what? God doesn't give you a new van without him wanting you to do something with it. And so we want to think about how God is calling us to reach this city and use the van to do it, okay? You know, we also as a church, and I just like to highlight this on Vision Sunday, that we get to pay a large staff and we get to pay them well. Okay, we have 16 people on our staff. That's not normal for a church our size. Now, they're paid at varying levels, part-time to full-time, but part of our philosophy has been to keep raising up younger leaders. And because you guys give well, we're able to bring on these interns, right? We had four interns. Aaron moved up to a full-time junior high position. Now we got three interns. We wouldn't be able to do that if you didn't give. And so part of our giving is to help raise up other ministers for the mission of God in our city and around the world. And so thank you for being those that are willing to give and help us do that. You know, we've also been doing this, and I'm excited about this one. We've been setting aside money for another church plant for the last couple years. I'll just tell you the number. We have a little over $100,000 set aside for another church plant. That's amazing, right? And we've been I'll tell you, we've been in discussions with a few guys over the last couple weeks, and we're praying about where God is leading us and just really hoping and praying that we're going to be able to get one of these going here in the next couple months. And so pray with us that we get to use those resources to plant another church here in Salt Lake City. We need God to do that. And we want to support more overseas missionaries. In fact, we're looking at a few even right now that have said, I think God is calling me there. And so I want to challenge you this morning. If you've never participated in giving a tithe of your resources or just even a one-time gift, that you start and see if God isn't true to his word to bless you. This is what Malachi 3:10 challenges us. He says, hey, bring in the full tithe and see if I don't bring in so much blessing that your barns will be overflowing. That's that rule of the harvest. You give a lot, God gives a lot, right? So let's continue to be a people that are freely giving and willing to take care of the needs of God's mission here in this church, in this city, and around the world as we find joy in the advancement of his kingdom. God doesn't just call us to give of our resources, but he also calls us to give of our lives. He calls people to serve. Look at this passage here. Exodus 35:30-35. It says, Moses said to the people of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill and intelligence, with knowledge and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and for in carving wood, for work in every skilled craft. And he has inspired him to teach both him and Aholiab, the son of, that's a hard one, Ahimasmach of the tribe of Dan. My Hebrew mind is going crazy right now. He has filled him with the skill to do every sort of work. I think I may have even misspelled that. And then Exodus 36:2 says, and Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill and everyone whose heart stirred him up to come and do the work. And they took the contributed materials and they went to work. Right? So I want you to see this here. God doesn't just give us the resources to get his work done. He gives us the people to get it done. And there is enough people and resources in this room to be on mission to join God with his mission in this city and around the work. And notice how he says he gifted the people to work. He put it in their heart and he gave them the skill. He called these guys and gave them the skill to actually do all this artistic work for the temple. I think that is so cool. 1 Corinthians 12:7 tells us in Christ, to each one of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, to build up the body of Christ and advance the gospel mission. You have a gifting from the Spirit and a calling in your life to live it out in his church and on mission with God. You know, next week, as I said, Tona and Mike Kirby will be doing a tandem sermon on 1 Corinthians 12. And they're going to talk a lot about what is spiritual gifting and how do we identify ours, right, so that we can be on mission for God. And so what is it? How has God gifted you to serve in his church and be on missions for him? You know, I also like this passage because often we think about spiritual gifting as, you know, preaching, teaching, missionary, and speaking in tongues depending on what church you go to, right? But this passage speaks of something very important here, that God has also gifted us with skills that are very tangible. And so sometimes I think when we're in the secular world, I used to think this sometimes when I was in construction, that really, you know, the mission of God is over there for those called to minister. But listen, your skills that make you successful in your job, James tells us every good gift comes from God. God gave you that so you would be successful, so that you would be a priest in that place for his kingdom. So do not discount the skills that God has given you to be in the workplace. If you're a doctor, be the best darn doctor there is there and do it to the glory of God because he gifted you to do it. If you're a ski instructor, be the ski instructor that everybody wants to come back to because they see something different in you, right? If you're the janitor, you clean that building to the glory of God so that people notice, this is a nice and clean building. Who did that? Our skills are gifts of the Spirit meant for the upbuilding of God's church. And so don't discount what God has given you to do in the secular workplace if he has called you there, right? He calls us everywhere, right? He calls us to do ministry. Sometimes it's in the secular place. Sometimes it's through the church. And I also love that 2 Corinthians 12:28 mentions various types of spiritual gifting, including, these are my favorite, gifts of helping and administration. Isn't that the one you always pray for? You know, I always think, why do charismatic churches not pray for gifts of helping and administration? Why is that off the charts, right? But these are so important. In fact, I want to share with you a cool transition that's happening in our staff based on Spirit-giving giftings. And so I want to call Roberta Wolf and Kelsey Conroy up here. You guys can just stand in place so you can see them back there. You know, a couple months ago, and you guys can sit down now. I was sitting down with Kelsey, and we're reviewing her work here at the church, and we kind of identified that she really likes doing a lot of our administration. Like, she really loves our finances. And so I kind of floated this out there. I said, well, what if you did our finances full-time? And she said, let me think about it. So her and Andy prayed about it, and they came back, and they said, you know what? I want to be the finance manager. And so Kelsey Conroy is going to be our new financial manager. She just started full-time in September. And Roberta Wolf is also going to be a financial manager with Kelsey, who will be handling some of the deeper details of that. And Dave Pelton, our other finance manager, is going to be done come here in December. And so this is a pretty big transition. And yet I believe God has called these people to this position at this time. And we're really, really excited about it. You know, I've seen others of you this year step in to help with men's ministry. In fact, Sean wants me to say there's a men's retreat September 27th through 29th. There's a little over 30 guys registered. You need to be there. It's going to be a great time. But God calls us in all sorts of ways to step into ministry. In fact, I was talking with Scott and Jaw this morning, and Scott is, you know, he's one of the leaders of BSF, right? Because God called him to do that. He's using his skills to teach there, to help lead the men's group. And there's both men's and women's groups he wants you to know that are going on that you can be a part of. And so as we think about mobilizing God's people to join God's mission, we want everyone to discover their gifting and find their calling, right? God has one for you. Where is it, right? Let's be on mission to him. Let's be the priests that are doing this work. In fact, we've done something to help you do this. And so on our Church Center app, you can see this up there. We've got a button right on the front page of the Church Center app. There's a volunteer interest form, and it goes through all sorts of different ways that you could possibly partner with us or do ministries outside of here. We want to hear from you, so go fill that out if you're not involved somewhere. And we want to help you find a place of service. We always need kids workers. We need youth workers. We need new community group leaders. We need all sorts of things. We want to help you find where you're gifted and begin to live that out. All right. And 2 weeks from now, Mike and Jeremiah will also do a tandem sermon talking about what does it look like for us to step into ministry through each season of our life, right? This isn't just a one-time thing. It's a lifelong thing, being a priest, stepping into the ministry that God is calling us to. You know, I heard one pastor say this one time, and it always stuck with me, that when you begin to give yourself to ministry, when you serve, you begin to figure out the future God has for you. You want to know what's in the future? God says, jump into my ministry and serve, right? And you'll find how you're gifted and where he's taken you. All right. Also here we see that there are some of those that are called to minister and lead God's people. Exodus 40, 12 through 15 says this. It says, you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and shall wash them with water and put on Aaron the holy garments. And you shall anoint him and consecrate him that he may serve me as a priest. You shall bring his sons also and put coats on them and anoint them as you anointed the father, that they may serve me as priests. And their anointing shall admit them to perpetual priesthood throughout their generations. So here we see that the people are setting apart a special group of guys, Aaron and his sons, the Levites, to be the priests of the priests, okay? They were the ones responsible for running the tabernacle, for being the people's intermediary between God. They have a special calling to lead God's people, the priests of the priests. And we see throughout all of Exodus that God had called Moses to lead the whole thing, right? He's leading the charge. And I believe that even in this room, God is calling some of you to be pastors, to be church planters, to be missionaries, worship leaders, and youth ministers, to be priests of the priests. Is that you? But the pathway to discerning that call is to get in the ballgame and start serving, right? See where you're gifted. See if the church affirms this, as they're doing here with Aaron and his... See if God is calling you. Join God in his mission and see what he'll show you is next. Part of that, I want to... we'll go on our Church Center app here. We're also coming in this September. We're going to take some nominations here for both elders and CLT members. So you can see that right there on the front page of your thing. Go there, fill it out. There's some paper ballots in the back. But elders here at Risen Life, we believe are men to be qualified by the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. And so I'd encourage you to look around at our church and who are the men that exhibit these things and nominate those guys. We're looking to have at least one elder added to replace Ron Potter, who moved away, and maybe two. But we'll see what we see as we work through these prayerfully for the see the Lord's leading. Also for the CLT, we have the CLT is the church leadership team that is the advisory board to the elders. It's made up of five men and five women of all different ages. And we had two men come off the board, and so we're looking to replace them with two men to keep this a balanced team. Jeremiah Johnson had to come off because his wife, Angela, came on staff with us. And then Phil Hurst had to come off because he became our executive pastor. And so we want to replace those two guys. And so please nominate people there. Also in the CLT, Leslie Kamin has decided to serve a second term. And we're excited that she's going to do that with us. So go to the Church Center app and do those nominations. And then look what it says here about Moses at the very end. Moses 40, or Exodus 40, 16 and 33. As Moses, as the leader of the people, said, Moses did all as the Lord had commanded him. And then 33 says, Moses finished the work. Right? Like, we can do the work of God. You can get on mission with him and do the work. And we see that in Moses, that as a great leader, he was leading them to do the work, and they finished the work for their generation. Okay, let's look at this finally, and Banjin, come on up. When God's people are mobilized on God's mission, we get a very distinct result. When God's people join God in his mission, serving with in their giftings and in their callings, and living out their callings, God's glory advances and is made known in the world. So look at this cool passage right here at the end of Exodus. Through all the trial, all the struggle, all the giving, all the serving, all the building, all the frustrations, through God's faithfulness and the people's willingness, God does really cool things. Look at Exodus 40, verse 34. It says, after Moses had completed all the work and everything was set up and all of God's people had stepped into their roles, it says this, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And throughout all their journeys, wherever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and a fire was in it by night, in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Right here, God's glory is being made known to the world because God's people gave to him. Right? They joined him in his mission. When we as God's people join him in his mission, serving God with our giftings and our callings, God makes his glory known through us to the world. God is now dwelling with his people, and the whole world gets to see it and begins to say, who is this God? Right? And when we join God on his mission, the glory of God can be made known in this city and around the world through you, if you're willing to join him. Right? Habakkuk 2:14 says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know how God's going to do that? He's going to do it through his kingdom of priests. Are you willing to give to him? Will you join him in what he's doing? He's calling us to be a distinct people with a distinct goal of making Jesus great. He's given us distinct callings and giftings with this distinct result. So this morning, I want to do things a little differently than we have in the past. We're actually going to respond with offering today. This is a symbol of our giving to the Lord, that not only do we give back to him to say thanks, but let it be a time where you contemplate, what do I want to give to the Lord for my life? How can I join him, give of my time, my talents, my treasure, to serve him in what he's doing around the world, to join him in his mission so that his glory can be made known? And if you don't know Jesus this morning, God's invitation to you is, come and join the people. Come be my special people, and I'll gift you to be on mission with me so that this world can know Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning, for all your goodness to us. Thank you for the ways that you loved us in Christ and you made a way so that we could become your special people. God, would you fill us with your Spirit so that we can carry out the calling on your life? Help us to be willing to give of our resources, to give of ourselves, so that your glory and the gospel of Christ would be made known through this church and this city and around the world. Father, we're asking you to do a great work in us. Would you speak to us now? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.